do this. And we're going to do...
All righty, here we are again. This is the Jimmy Doan Show.
Hey, I got what's that up, Jimmy?
Well, the same old, no, not same old, same old. A lot of new stuff today. This is, the 29th today. And coming into the end of September, getting ready for Halloween. Everybody's going to get their Halloween costume. But we have a lot of stuff since our last show. What last show was about 4 or 5 days ago. Yeah, Sunday, I think it was. Anyway, it's Friday, Mars Garage Sale Day. And we have here Curtis.
Hey
there, Curtis, and Engineer Eric.
How you doing?
But we have a lot of stuff to talk about today, not least of which is Tom DeLay, the oil thing. Oil, are we still dependent on oil? The new food pyramid. And a couple of local things here we'll chat about. New Freedom Week and suicide. Female suicide bombers. Want to check? Oh, how about the legislator in Georgia?
Didn't hear about that.
Oh, the legislator in Georgia wants to get out of his DUI because he's a legislator in Georgia.
I don't blame him.
That's right.
I'd want to get out of mine, too.
As well we should.
That's right.
So anyway, that's no special. No, everybody's equal under the law, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're gonna convict people of that type of thing, which to me is victimless.
Victimless. Well, yeah, that's right. Unless you actually commit the other crime,
you hit something,
or somebody, property damage or whatever. Okay, well, we're ready. This is great. Great day today. It's a beautiful day here in Florida.
Sunny Florida.
That's right. Still warm. Still in the 80s. High 80s.
But definitely noticeably cooler.
Definitely noticeably cooler than it was. We're cruising into our fall season. The reason you should live in Florida is coming up.
You know, actually, I got something that I wanted to open the show with today.
Good. But before you get started, let me just do one thing. Let me thank our listeners, especially Gene and Vicky and the others that are listening all over the country. We have quite a few now. And we're, number one on...
We are number one on Google for Libertarian podcast.
And we want to, that's right, and we want to thank our people who have sent reviews in to the various, Podcast Alley and...
Podcast.net and Podcast Pickle.
Pickle, that's right. So those really help us a lot. It's interesting, when I went on, just real quick, I found out our show is listed in the new area. Sometimes a little hard to find because they have us under comedy. Which, of course, we're not. I don't understand that. We're not.
Well, no.
this is dead serious.
This is a serious show, and they have us listed under comedy instead of serious political mainstream.
I registered with 30 different places, okay, and I threw comedy in on a couple of them I put us there on comedy just to cover all the spectrum.
Hey, they could have had us under psychological projects or something.
Probably. Well, psychological. I'm not sure. But the psycho. Is right.
Psycho.
But I'm not sure about psychological. I think psycho might be more like it. But yeah, okay. Well, go ahead. What are you going to open with, Eric?
Well, here, I have a show and tell here. I want to give you this so you can look at it and see.
How am I supposed to get this, for God's sakes, across the room?
Bring it over to you there.
Thank you so much. Okay. Oh, the giant squid.
Yeah.
Yes. You know what the giant squid resembles here?
What?
An octopus.
No. No. A previous show. Which, of course...
The noodly appendage.
The noodly appendage.
In fact, did you see the shirt I'm wearing?
Oh my God.
I am wearing an official...
Spaghetti monster.
Spaghetti monster. May you be forever touched by his noodly appendage.
So anyway, now we have a live noodly appendage. We find out that God lives in the sea. This is good. God, and we now have a picture of God.
Are you looking at this picture?
No, and he only has 7 noodly appendages.
Well, that's because one of them got
ripped off. Oops.
Yeah, God's not indestructible.
This is one of those things that... when I was a kid, I remember they told us, this is a myth. These things don't exist. This was something out of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
And now, surprise.
And now you know that drawing where there's that pirate ship. and there's the big tentacles coming up
around
and
the
sailor.
Well, they said
flapping in his arms.
I mean, when some of the bugs, when you cut them in half or something, they still move.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this is, but I think they said that the suckers were still sucking when they got this thing up.
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
I mean a pirate ship is like a big sushi boat to this thing.
Think about
pretty good when you remove this cloth outer layer.
That's right. Well, no, think about when a submarine goes through, though. You know, if you can crack open that submarine like a peanut or something.
It's like a human popper.
That's right, a human popper. That's right. You think about if the squids only knew what was in there. No, but they have gotten like some 50-foot arms and stuff, haven't they?
Oh, God, these things are...
This is a baby.
Baby.
Yeah, and this one was 26-foot-long giant squid.
I read about one that was about 80 feet.
Yeah.
In the 1900s or something, when it washed up.
Well, then again, they've had some sperm whales with the, you know, dinner plate size suckers around the side of that sucker too. Yeah. So, you know,
well, that's what they eat. But of course, obviously, these guys fight back.
Yep.
Yeah, that's I did remember seeing they showed the sperm whales when they caught them. You know, with these big sucker marks all over. I mean, obviously, one arm's wrapped around the sperm whale. You can figure out how
for a big meal.
That's right. And the other guy's trying to escape. That's right.
But it's pretty
congratulations
cool.
to the Japanese.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, when you think about it, how big the ocean is, people don't... If you look at satellite pictures, for instance, or not even satellite, excuse me, the...
Are you digressing?
No. I'm going to show you about it. I'm going to show you how big the ocean is.
Okay. Uh-huh.
It's big. Okay. it is big. Like, if you take a football field as the ocean... I mean, the area that's been explored is about the size of a hanky. I mean, it's nothing. I mean, this is not only it's like 3D also, isn't it? Yeah, deep.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is down how far? 3,000 feet?
Yeah.
There's lots of unexplored territory.
Lots and lots. And they happen to find... Yeah, exactly. We happen to think, what are the odds? We stumbled across one 20 feet long.
Almost 30 feet long.
Almost 30 feet long.
50 years after the invention of submarines.
That's right. Hello. I think these
probably... they're down there. They're probably skittish of stuff down there. You know?
Think?
Well, you know. They're probably, you know, that's probably why they're still around.
That's right.
I mean, you know, I wonder if they're going to, since they're Japanese founded, I wonder if they're going to cook any of that up and see what it tastes like.
Ooh, good point.
Giant squid tentacle.
That's right.
It's that movie with Matthew Broderick where they were frying up endangered species. Well,
was that with Marlon Brando?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think there's any need to wonder, man. The Japanese
will
put anything on
a plate.
Well, on a roll of rice.
That's right. That's right. Still working. Still sucking.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there must have been some tremendous famines over there for them to have tried some of the things that they normally eat nowadays.
how do you eat those blowfish that are poison?
Okay. I'm gonna eat this sea cucumber now. If I live, then you guys can eat the other ones.
Right. And if I die, then try it a different way.
That's
I mean, you know, how did they figure out the,
well, they probably
the
had
fugu
some,
or whatever the blowfish
I
know, is?
I figured out how they made bread.
I tell you, there was some emperor standing there, and he had a guard with a sword, and he said, you eat that, or you cut his head off.
Right.
Well, I mean, the courtyard must have been littered with corpses. Okay, well, it needs to be heated up to 212 degrees.
Yeah,
right. 211 doesn't work. So, I don't know. Well, anyway, this is the noodly appendage. This is good, and that's on a previous show. No, yep. That's good. We have a picture of God.
Yep.
I like this. God is not in heaven. God is down there. Not God. It's the devil. That's what it is. Down there. It just that's what the devil looks like.
Well,
okay. Lucifer. All right. Well, that's good. We'll put that aside.
Okay.
Anything else we need to bring up right away?
That was just my big, you know, I just was blown away by that picture. They had two great ones on the net, and I want to see some more. I can't wait for them to come out.
They said they had hundreds of pictures.
Yeah, I know. I want to see some more.
Well, I'm sure they'll, now that they found one. You know, it was like when they found that ancient, you know, billion-year-old fish or whatever.
Coelacanth.
Yeah, coelacanth.
Yeah, right. And they started finding more of them. They found out where they live, and they found out they're all over the place, for God's sakes.
And they went down and filmed a bunch of them.
Yeah, saw that. That was great. At any rate, okay, we can move on here. The topic, well, not the topic of the day, but the news of the day, let's get this out of the way, is the Tom DeLay indictment.
Indicted.
Yeah, that's right, indicted, so he's resigned from the leadership post.
I tell you, this to me is indicative of a big problem that we're having these days.
What, ethics in government?
Well, no, absolutely not. Do you know what he's indicted for?
Yes, it's campaign violations.
Campaign violations. There are 18 out of the 50 states that have laws of this type. If he'd done that in Florida, no problem.
No problem.
No problem.
Really? I did not know that.
Actually, I don't know if Florida's one of the other...
Actually, we have some local. We have some local stuff here. You know, now they have a new thing here locally where you can only contribute like 50 cents or something. Or if no, it's 50.
To me, the whole idea of campaign contribution limitations is ridiculous.
Of course it
is. The presidency cannot be bought. Ask Ross Perot.
Right.
Ask Donald Trump.
That's right.
If anybody could have bought the presidency, it would have been Donald Trump.
That's right.
Or Steve Forbes.
Steve Forbes, absolutely.
You can't buy.
He got nothing.
What are you, 2%, 0.5% or something?
Let me put it this way. The Libertarians got less than just less than he did, I think. And yeah, no, I mean.
It's amazing to me that people fight over those campaigns. It ought to be wide open. You can donate whatever you want from whatever corporation, entity, person.
I do think that, however, I do believe that it would be a wise, I don't know about a law, but it seems like a smart move to tell who's donating. Yeah. Let's say you get a donation from Stalin. Mm-hmm. It seems like you put that on your website. Stalin wants me elected, or you know, Hamas wants me elected, and they contributed whatever.
I really think it would even out, but okay, I'll go with that.
But that's all. I agree with you. What is interesting about this, of course, is what we refer to as the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, and that is as soon as you pass a law, it's something squeezes out because you've passed the law. Other things, the law of unintended consequences is because of I hope our listeners know what the Heisenberg uncertainty principle is. That is, if you, by observing something or by doing something, you affect what it is you're observing. In other words, you change, by observing, you have changed the observation or something along those lines. So then that's why you can't observe what is an electron. You can't observe where it is and what it is at the same time or how fast it's going.
You can't observe the direction and position
at the same time. Right. You have got one or the other. The other's a probability. Well, anyway, so much for the physics of the day. The point is that it is interesting because the first campaign regulations were passed in the 70s. And now we've got, of course, affirmed, thank you so much, by the Supreme Court, the McCain-Feingold, which was a joke. And what we find out is everybody got around it. I mean, there was more money spent. It doesn't work. And what's interesting.
And they have these hyper-complicated systems of law. Nobody could understand what it is. You know, Tom DeLay had his super lawyer in somewhere go over the issue to make sure he was complying with it one way or the other. But now this law is so cryptic and so complicated that it can be inferred by this prosecutor.
Who is a typical prosecutor.
Well, there's no question that he's archetypical, I would say.
I mean, oh my. Well, you know about prosecutors. I mean, when they get it, it doesn't matter if your alibi is that I was seen in France, Paris, France, by 10 million people during the murder in Austin, Texas, still, and you are.
Well, you have to show that.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying
produce those.
You do all that in the prosecutor. Well, I still think he was guilty.
Well, you have to
something.
Say, this prosecutor actually indicted himself for the same thing.
Whoa.
Okay, so that just shows you how absurd it is. I mean, it ought to strike him as odd that he felt like he had to indict himself. And he indicted Kay Hutchinson, felony charges, and these are felony charges that Tom DeLay is now.
Well, the thing is, but in order to indict, of course, we know the grand jury system is stacked because the defense guy doesn't get to go in there really.
Right.
But in front of a grand jury, if they do the indictment, of course, the indictee doesn't have to be present, right?
Right.
So they can he can walk in there with every piece of phony evidence known to mankind. It can be a pack of lies.
Yep. Hearsay,
whatever, and so forth. No, and that's, of course,
it's
why.
Extremely low standard.
Very low standard.
But the problem is not the grand jury. That's there as a level of protection.
Right.
But the problem is that what he has to show is so vague these days. The idea that it's a campaign finance rule, I guarantee what you're going to find is that there was some money deposited in one bank, and then it was deposited in a second bank.
It was a third bank.
Bank went and did something with that money from the first bank couldn't do.
Right.
And so now he's going to try to show some causal link, some people are going to owe, and he's going to try to infer that it's the same money.
That's right. He is. And it's exactly what he's going to do, because they had a visual of this, in fact, on the New York Times website. They showed a picture, of course you'd figure this, and it showed the $190,000 check, how it was routed through three different agencies, and then apparently the final thing was it was routed to six or seven candidates for Texas, you know, Republicans.
Right.
And they said it was the same money. Who's to know again? And so
it's so vague. The prosecutors are so empowered by this kind of thing. It's the same kind of thing that allowed Martha Stewart to get convicted on a different level.
Yeah.
You know, if they can convict Martha Stewart and send her to prison, they're coming for you next. I mean, that they can get anybody. The Tyco guys, they got the Tyco guys. They didn't even. There was no accounting fraud in the Tyco scandal. These guys apparently got away with $500 million, $500 million, which is 1/80th of Tyco's annual
earnings, right?
But according to them, it was all authorized.
Yeah. You're right. This brings up a point that was one of the famous or pithy quotes that you hear all the time, and that is, if you don't understand the law, I mean, the law has gotten so convoluted that you can't avoid violating it at any time. They can arrest you basically for anything. And the police say that. We can get you for anything.
Yeah.
And if they...
And that means if they identify an individual... And then try to investigate to find something that he's doing.
They're going to find something. That's right. And freedom goes out the window at that point. I mean, if you cannot understand the law, then it's meaningless.
So, yeah.
So the question, of course, is I thought it was interesting. It wasn't Chris. It was what's his name? The guy Morris. What's his name? The guy who wrote the book on Hillary. He's why am I losing this guy's name? And I'll think of it here in a moment. Please don't let me down. Don't let me down. I keep thinking William Morris Agency, and that's not right. Anyway, there is a fellow who has written several books. He's one of the political advisors to both parties, actually. And he got kicked off the Clinton staff for a while because they filmed him with a hooker in some hotel. But anyway, the point is he knows what he's talking about. And for some reason, I'm sitting here trying in real time to figure out what this guy's name is. Anyway, he's written several books, but he's an insider's insider. He is really good. And he said, he was on Hannity and Combs last night, I think, and he said, look, this is the most ridiculous thing. He probably did it, but so what? I mean, so what? He says they're not going to get him. They're not going to convict him. But he probably did it, and so what, is what it boils down
That's
to.
That's my thing. It's just, yeah, this is ridiculous. It's like the steroids thing. You know, they got steroids.
Yeah.
So what? Congress? They have congressional hearings about
this? No. And, of course, that brings up another point, and that is they are federalizing everything. One of the nice things about living in the states, in the United States of America, is that you could always vote with your feet. If you didn't like what the steroids in Florida, for instance, or whatever that is, you could go to Georgia or wherever you wanted to. But they federalize everything, and now if you move from Florida to Oregon, you're still in the same. And a lot of the stuff shouldn't be federalized, as you well know.
Crimes. Well, steroids in particular, to me, it just comes down to, if you're a free American, you should have the absolute right to input, at least. If you want to take something,
yeah,
knock yourself out.
Literally.
It might.
Literally, knock yourself out.
It might kill you. You know, people say, but if you want to kill yourself, I mean, you know, there's people say, oh, well, you can't let people have poison. Well, there's poison under your sink.
That's true.
Hemlock grows naturally.
That's right.
If you want to kill yourself, you can do it.
Roll around on the poison ivy. Yeah.
But the steroid thing, it certainly bothers me. I mean, they call them performance-enhancing substances. Like, I thought that was Wheaties.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Sure enough. Again, that we can get into that because that's this whole drug thing to a large extent.
That's true.
And we'll get into that in another show. I don't want to... Boy, I have not really totally prepared for that today. I was listening to some other people on it, and I will prepare for that at another show. Let me just mention a couple of things. One is over in Iraq. We have more bombings and so forth. Big news, of course. Always, if it bleeds, it leads. Apparently, there's been a first, and that is a suicide bomber was a female.
I saw a female suicide bomber's tape several years ago. A young, pretty girl.
I thought, but I think that was in Israel.
She was a Palestinian in Israel.
Right, but this was in... Okay, this is the first one in Iraq.
Okay, okay.
Now, the Palestinians, you see, don't get... I don't think they got the 72 virgins if you're a guy. I think it's just the Muslims that get the 72 virgins. If you're a guy...
Well, Palestinians are Islamic, right?
Well, I don't... I'm showing my ignorance here, to be honest with you. I think that they're you know, there's certainly Arabic, but I don't know what that is all about. I mean, they want to eliminate Israel. That's their main thing. I don't, death to the Jews, whatever. Okay. So, no, I don't know. But I do know that a lot of the promises, at least in Afghanistan and Iraq, are for the virgins. And I'm wondering what they promised. Yeah, which is sweet. I'm just wondering what they promised this girl. I mean, was it 72 Chippendales?
She gets to be one of the...
She gets to be one of the 72. Well, that could be. I don't know. But it does bring up another point, speaking of the violence over there. And this is one of those things that covers a lot of area. I saw a report where some gunmen went into a school there. Now, this is not the Russian thing where they took the prisoners, which was just as bad. And killed a bunch of the children. Of course, that was during the rescue operation. But what they did is they went into this school and they rounded up seven of the teachers and shot and took them into another room and shot them in cold blood. And one wonders.
Down with education.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like government teachers? Or?
That's a war on education.
Yeah.
Boy,
are they government teachers or are they?
I don't know. they're not anymore.
What's your point?
My point is that what kind of a person does it take if you resort to that kind of thing to walk into a school that
you have to understand the idea. The idea is to do the most harm. They have very limited resources. With the terrorists, they can't fight a war. They can't mount an army. They would lose. So the only thing they can do is disrupt the status quo. The only thing they can do...
But a teacher, of all people.
It's going to be kids. It's going to be babies. It's going to be whatever. You can't look at it from the standpoint of who it is and that they're evil people because they're killing these hyper-innocent victims.
Yeah, of course, a lot of people are saying that, when we do the strategic bombing and they have, quote, collateral damage, that we've done the same thing.
Well, you try, if you're the big power, then you try to be kind. You establish rules.
Right.
You have people marching. You have the Geneva Convention rules. You can't use poison gas.
Well, they put, what's her name, Lindy English or whatever her name is, in jail for, what, 3 years of hard labor in Leavenworth, for God's sakes, because she was leading some guy naked on a leash. No death.
Yep.
But, I mean, that's what we do. And that's right.
And when you're the big power, you always establish rules, and you always try to call the other guys cheats. Boy, they're cheating the way they war us.
War. Yeah, like, how about a fair war?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, the idea of war is kill the other people.
Well, especially since they invented spiraling bullets or whatever. Because you think about it, the Revolutionary War, the Brits were all upset because the Americans didn't fight fair.
They hid
behind trees and shot them while these guys are marching en masse.
I mean, ridiculous. But it was exactly the same outrage that we now claim. George Bush is always saying, these guys are terrorists, and they kill these innocent people. And to vilify them for that misses the point. The idea is that they are sentient people. They have a goal, and their goal is just better served if they disrupt the status quo.
It is interesting because when all is said and done, even if they were to succeed, think about what it would be like. It would be one group of thugs displacing another group of people who are arguably, by their standards, people who are ruling and are thugs. When you have military in power and another military takes over, as far as the average person is concerned, what's the difference? Not much. Well, it can be.
The culture is just decimated over there. They don't really have the general population, the middle class, the way that we think of it in terms of the normal population. You're either a farmer, or you're a fighter, you're a trader. It's very delineated.
That's trader, right?
Right. Okay. It's not traitor. And you're hoping that your group maintains power. The organization is largely through religious sects. Not sex, but sex.
Religious.
That's sex with a C.
Right. And so that's the kind of... That's what you're going to get.
Well, of course, I'll be honest with you. I absolutely do not understand the culture. The culture there, of course, is 3,000 years old if it's a day. And they have had, when you think about the geography, affects the culture considerably because of the way of the Ural Mountains, I think, there and so forth, and all the passes. you know, passage to India, the Silk Trail, all that stuff. The, you know, the founding, the Babylonian, you know, Tigris, Euphrates, beginning of civilization, and so forth. So on. I mean, they have pretty good history when you think about the United States.
It was the center of culture for hundreds of years at various times of the
exactly
history.
And it's not now. Now it's the center of oil. Although, speaking of oil, can I go now to...
Sure, segue to oil.
Okay, segue to oil. segue to oil. The thinking, of course, has to do with the hurricanes, about the disruption of the refineries, which it turns out that, surprise, surprise, everything's coming back online. There weren't as many people dead. A lot of the horrific news, rapes, pillages, murders, all a bunch of bullshit. And the refineries...
All caused by cops.
yeah, right. You know, everybody... I mean, total breakdown, anarchy, who knows what. Worst thing that ever happened. And you're going to see, you know, not only dead bodies, but, you know, people... didn't happen. All drummed up by the media. Now, the refinery is supposed to be offline. We're going to have gasoline prices, $5, $10. Who knows what, okay. a gallon, that is. Right. Not for all of it. So anyway... turns out they pretty well hardened against it, coming back online. And of course, the word comes right away. Again, you're talking about the federal business. They have an investigation in Congress, who knows what. And the thing rears its head again, and that is energy independence. Well, I'm here to tell you energy independence is a myth, any more than we've got chromium or any other kind of independence.
Why would you seek independence?
Why would you? Exactly right. And again, we've said this before, that either goods cross borders or soldiers
the
will.
The fearmonger. People are afraid that if we don't have our own independent energy source, that somehow if there's a war, we won't be able to deal with it.
And that's crap. When you realize that, of course, a substantial amount of our oil comes from non-OPEC countries. And in fact, would you care to guess, without looking at your cheat sheet page?
Canada.
Shut up. Damn. You cheated. Canada is our largest importer. We import.
Well, and not only that, but we have.
And of course, we can always raid Canada. I mean, we can blow. You know, when all is said and done, there's like nobody in Canada. I mean, think about it. Canada is mostly like 60 miles from the U.S. border.
Everybody's our bitch.
Yeah, that's right. Canada's our bitch.
It's like the Star Trek guy. It's like, we're going to take your oil. Okie doke. That's right. Like Jim from Taxi.
Yeah. Beauty oil, eh?
No, we love Canada.
No,
actually.
There's no question.
And we wouldn't do that, nope. Especially because they'd share it with us anyway.
Yep.
And that's right. And because Captain Kirk came from there.
That's right.
And we love Captain Kirk.
And Michael J. Fox.
And Michael J. Fox.
And Jim Carrey.
And, yep.
And Pamela Anderson.
Whoa!
Woo-hoo.
You're kidding.
No.
She's Canadian. No, that's good, though. But no, the other thing that people don't realize is that what's so funny about this, a lot of the oil companies, there's two things to consider. One, if you had tried to charge, here locally, oil is $2.85 or something like that a gallon. If you had tried to charge $2.75 a year ago here, you would have been arrested, tarred, feathered.
I can't stand that.
Guillotined. Because oil back a year ago was $1.90 or something like that. And you would have been arrested for gouging, strung up by your thumbs, drawn, quartered, convicted, tried, burned alive at the stake. And today, people are driving around begging for oil at $2.75.
Look, Americans understand.
Gas, I mean. Mm-hmm. Right.
Prices fluctuate. I get so tired of people in the media saying, we have to go after the oil companies because they're making record profits. Hey, knock yourselves out. Let them raise it to $10. The people will find a way.
People will find. Absolutely. The market will adjust. Well, I personally, of course, in full disclaimer here, I happen to own stocks in oil companies, CVX, to be honest about
buy
it.
Buy it all up.
Yeah, that's right. So I get a big fat dividend from those guys. I, you know, no problem. Hey, you know, you could go to Shell. If you have a Shell credit card, they give you like a nickel back on every gallon anyway when you charge the charges. But the point is that this quest for energy independence is a chimera. It is a mythology. I mean, it is a joke. So many reasons that, you know, on so many levels, because we are not independent of much more essential goods, such as chromium, which is used in steel, and a lot of rare earths that we just don't have here. Why aren't we plugging for independence? Because you can't. Well, we don't. Guess what? We don't have the oil here in the United States. And I'll tell you, other than Congress, we don't have enough wind.
Well, we do have plenty of oil. Actually, if they wanted to pump it out, we could.
Well, at a price.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize that a lot of the wells, certainly the stripper wells and so forth. Ooh, stripper wells. That's cool. Wait a minute.
I got my attention. I was asleep there for a second. Woke engineer Eric right up.
Yeah. Reminds me when Grandma said she wanted to go to the porn shop, and I thought she said porn. Okay, porn shop. No, that was the last show. Okay, no, the
stripper wells.
Stripper wells, right. What's their name again? Stripper wells.
Okay. I don't know.
No, anyway, the point is that people don't realize that the amount of oil that's left in the ground can be up to half, 50 or 60%. Because as you well know, think about it. Here you have a balloon, for instance, that's filled with water, and you open the top, and what flows out, but there's a lot left there because there's no pressure. So now what they do is they pump steam down, or it's because it's thick. So they pump steam down there to heat it up. That's what they call secondary recovery. They're now in tertiary recovery. And at $10 a gallon, I can tell you right now, they'd find ways to get it out of there.
Well, and not only that, but there's so many other fuel sources for different things. At that price, that's why the hybrids are coming online. At that price, they're starting to get useful.
They are starting to get useful. Not only that, as far as Canada's concerned, they have, arguably, anybody will tell you, that they have 100 years in the shale oil, which is the oil that's, you know, in the rocks.
Yeah.
I think you have to, like, heat it up or something. And, of course, people complain that you have to use more energy to get it. Well, that's what energy is all about. I mean, that doesn't mean anything. Just because you have to use X sum to get some, that's the opposite of entropy. I mean, that's what we do, for God's sakes. That's the whole universe is based on that. Again, we don't want to get into a physics lesson. Okay.
And really, of course, what we should be doing, if you want to talk about energy stuff, we really should just build a few more nuclear reactors.
And absolutely, that's the truth. And again, this brings up, I don't know if we've talked about this before, people are all worried about, as we have said, more people were killed at Chappaquiddick than Three Mile Island. And the people are always talking about Chernobyl, which, of course, was typically a typical government project.
Well, and again,
and that's why it blew up, because it was designed not to shut, as all of ours are. If anything goes wrong, they automatically like the market, they're self adjusting. They shut down by themselves if something goes wrong.
Well, there was all kinds of bureaucratic problems with that one. They were running tests at Chernobyl. They were running tests that all of the senior advisors, it was like the space shuttle when it blew up. I mean, all the senior advisors for the people that were working in the plant were saying, you can't do these tests, you know, in this way. I mean, this is ridiculous. And this one guy who's super arrogant, who had the ultimate authority to go in there and just tell them all to do it this way. And then that's
also 1950s technology.
Right.
I mean, these days you could have redundancies upon redundancies. Upon
absolutely. Redundancies. No question about it. Well, what they're worried about is a lot of things. Number one, of course, they're worried about the fact that they scare people, say that it's going to blow up, we have an atom bomb. That's a lie. And number two, they're worried about the storage of the spent fuel rods. I have, as we have talked about before with the Kurzweil thing, in 100 years, if they have not invented a technology to totally neutralize that, it is amazing how many laws. The government always thinks in the present. They take what is today and extrapolate into the future and have no concept. They don't have any faith
that the market is going to change.
Well, no, that's right. That's right. I am absolutely confident that if the market was there, that in 10 years, forget 100, in my lifetime, easily, well, 10 years, I'll last that long. In 10 years, 15, 20, whatever it is, they will have the technology to neutralize totally any spent fuel rods. I'm not worried about that at all. And so, you know, here they are trying to put these fuel rods, you know, cart them over to the Nevada, you know, bury them in the a concrete mountain or whatever.
Which is a great idea.
300,000 years is what they're worried about. I'm thinking, 300,000, give me a break.
Yeah.
Who cares about 300,000 years? You know, let them deal with it. Look, think about it. In 300,000 years, Social Security is going to be broke.
Well,
so I'm not worried about the fuel rods.
At that rate, at today's current spending, Social Security will be, $100 quadrillion dollars in debt.
otherwise known as three quatloos.
Yeah,
three quatloos.
I bid three quatloos on that. That's right.
But it is amazing how they've built this incredible facility. I don't think there's any one piece of radioactive waste in it.
Is that the facility where Bill Gates is storing all of the a bunch of that stuff? You know, he's rented out or hired out or bought or something like that to store archival movies in one of those places out there. I think that's where it is in that same area.
Anyway, they built this huge monstrous mountain for untold amounts of money.
I think they just drilled it out.
I'm
guessing that the mountain was pretty much already...
Well, I mean, they built all the tunnels to go in. I mean, it looks gorgeous. I mean, it'd be a...
Well, they decided that it was just as risky to transport those fuel rods across country on the trains as it was to leave them where they were.
I say call the herd. let a couple of them spit it out. You know, no, if they can, and they
should privatize the energy system. Let people sell it for what they want.
You know, when
somebody will build themselves a nice private nuclear reactor and sell the energy.
I agree. I couldn't agree with you more. It's because again, you only have to look at again. Just go back to the hurricane. We were just talking about this a minute ago. Home Depot and Walmart totally prepared. Any soldier that was there was on their hands and knees with their AK-47s, or not AK, whatever they use here, but they on their hands because that's where you bought water, food, you know, MREs, whatever it was. Walmart had all that stuff, and Home Depot was well supplied as soon as the waters, literally as soon as the water subsided. This one, they were talking about this one lady that was in her Walmart, 2 feet of water, but a lot of stuff was still good. She hauled it out in the parking lot and gave it all away. I mean, and FEMA, and the only problem that they had was when they were trucking in, when Walmart was coming in with their big Sam's Walmart trucks, FEMA didn't allow them to go some places.
Yeah.
I mean, can you, they stopped them. Hello? These are the people that are supposed to.
I saw a restaurant who had to make an out-of-state trip to get their supplies because they couldn't, their delivery truck couldn't get there, wasn't allowed in.
Wasn't allowed in. I mean, not that it couldn't make it.
Right.
It just wasn't allowed in. I mean, it is phenomenal to me. When you think about bumbling, and they had these guys, you know, Brown was up there. Of course, they're playing the blame game, as bureaucrats will do. Fix the blame before you fix the problem. You know, make sure you fix the blame.
Yeah, there's already hearings in Congress.
Oh, my God. Like, you know, shut up.
Seriously.
So they shouldn't be doing any of that stuff. And, again, it just shows you that I would do as you would do, as we've talked about this before. I'd say, you know, you want to build a nuclear power plant. Please don't blow us up. Go for it. You know, and
you figured the power poles that are out there that hold the power lines up, these hurricanes come through, rip them all down.
Yep.
And those things were invented in 1913.
And that's right. No. I mean,
it's because there's no competition. Every power company has a specified monopoly.
Yep.
And there's no need to improve if you had some competition there.
Well, of course, the way they get around that, there's two ways to get around it. One is, of course, it's the kickbacks to the government. That is, either the government, as locally here, they own the power plant, and so we pay taxes. They just raised they said they're not going to raise our taxes, but they raised the fuel charges, which, of course, the city is a tax. They basically tax themselves, which is us. So they claim that they didn't raise our taxes, but they did. But the other thing is that otherwise it's a franchise, which they get a tax. I just paid my bill to the cell phone company, and I think it's 12% is the tax on that. In other words, it's $45 is the rate, and I'm paying $55.54 or something like that for my minutes, whatever it is.
Yeah, and I just paid $26 in tax on my cell phone bill.
There you go.
$26.
Well, if you look,
$30 in tax.
Well, when you
is that a local tax or is that an FCC?
No, it's all of them. It's FCC, it's access, but there's a local franchise fee involved in that, which is a kickback to the county or the city, whoever has the thing.
And, but it's $30.
Well,
for 1 month.
The thinking on the course, the reason they do this, I mean, it's a racket. The reason they do this is they say, well, we're saving you money because if you had two power companies in here, you'd have two power poles, or three phone companies, you'd have three phone poles, and that would be wasteful and redundant. And
it's ridiculous.
And of course, what we found out, I mean, I know that when you were living in Orlando, there was a mistake made across the street from you, wasn't there? With the cable company.
Oh,
yeah,
they made a mistake. Was it Time Warner and what was the other one?
It was Time Warner and Cox or something like
that.
It
wasn't Cox.
One was across the street from the other.
Well, what happened was they accidentally ran the lines down the same side of the street for two different cable companies. So on that side of the street, the rates were half.
Right,
what they were.
Because
you could switch.
You could switch. Right.
And so they were half on that side of the street than the other side of the street. I mean, it just, you know, and they weren't losing any money on that. I just,
it's. You just let it go.
They're
assuming that people are going to use the same poles and not come up with some novel
idea.
Well,
actually, I mean, I gotta just tell, I mean, there's a bunch of talk too also about being able to beam microwave energy. I mean, you can actually put they were talking about on Dad's favorite show, the Art Bell Show on on Coast to Coast, but you know, they have
okay. I'm over here choking. I have my visualize this. My finger is in my throat, and okay, go ahead.
On Jimmy's favorite show, the Coast to Coast show with Art Bell, but they had actually it was George Norrie was the host, but anyway, they had a they do have some scientists on there, and they do talk about possibilities of...
Now, these scientists have a degree from Puerto Rican...
No. These are actual, like, real-time USC...
in psychology and parapsychology.
I have a PhD in ghost-busting, and...
but in all honesty, I mean, it was kind of interesting that they decided that to put up an orbital power station that actually probably the most efficient way to do it would be to actually boil water in space and actually run a steam turbine in space, but using like super, you know, new materials and things to make it lightweight and all that. But then actually just beam the energy back to Earth and catch it. Like the one guy suggested that we have a collection area out at the a landfill, you know, or somewhere where some people didn't really necessarily want to live. But the radiation that's coming down is something on the order of 1/4 of 1/50th the amount that gets put into your microwave oven per, you know, cubic centimeter or whatever, because you're putting it out over a kind of a large area, and then you just basically you'd shield the ground using the same type of that little perforated metal thing that you would have in the microwave oven.
Good luck.
But again, it's a tremendous amount. One place would might, you know.
I can tell you right now that Dr. Evil would take that over in 2 minutes and beam the shit out of this place. I mean, you can just see it right now that you can see raiding the controls for the damn thing and saying and holding the whole world hostage with this.
Well, then you get the Department of Defense on your side, and then you know, just help sponsor putting it up there, and then it's got a dual.
Watch me beam them out of existence.
See, then you're in the same issue. The whole idea is
that's right. That's exactly what I want. I want to have the United States government with a beaming thing over my house.
It's loose. No, but well, yeah. I mean, that was the point, is they were saying that you could actually make it to where there's no way to, you know, they would make it to where it wouldn't be focusable. It's just, I mean, it's focusable to a square mile or something like that, but not to, you know,
everything
dime.
Is sterile in this
right,
area.
Right, that's right. Well, who cares? It's a landfill or something. Put it out there in the middle of nowhere. But 120 power plants, they said it could replace.
Well, the point is there's lots of energy alternatives.
Yeah, there are tons, but you have to let the market decide. I mean, these guys, I don't care. Everybody has their own agenda. I mean, it's interesting. It's the same thing, at least in when you get on the some of the financial talk shows, they at least will disclose what they're in. You know, do you own this stock? Why are you recommending? Yes, no, well, whatever.
And when you say that everybody has their own interest, that's okay. You know, everybody is worried that there's
this
central, that there needs to be some sort of centralized control over the whole thing.
And I agree. And, of course, one of the things that you learn is that any compromise is going to involve a less than optimal solution. By definition, a compromise is something less than optimal. So you let the market figure it out, and let it all go. Let everybody try their own thing, and the market will figure out that cars should have four tires, blow up whatever it is, radial with an engine. And
in the next 20 years, the market is going to figure it out because of the new technologies that are coming online that are going to offer solutions that, you know, we might envision a little bit.
Well, except unless the government steps in and tries to regulate it. Number one, or if they come up with their own.
Some of the things we'll talk about in the next show. When we tackle the Supreme Court cases that John Roberts should overturn, in particular some of the ones that empowered Congress to interfere with business, regulate business.
Yeah, we've got about 20 cases, I guess, we
Something
want to
like that, yeah,
about 20. I've investigated a bunch of them, but we're going to talk about that the next show. That'll be a good show. We're going to
There's even this nanotechnology paint that you can one day paint on the side of your house and collect energy.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I've already got, you know, Brooks Brothers is already selling nanotechnology shirts and pants. You know that.
Yeah. I was looking around to try to find some of that for a gift for somebody.
Yeah, right. $150 a pop.
Is that what they are? I couldn't find any.
They're like $100 for a pair.
You can literally take a tire glass of wine and throw it on yourself and just comes right off.
It repels it. And it doesn't wrinkle ever.
No, not ever.
Yeah. You know, when I think of nanotechnology, I'm thinking of like little microbes in there, you know, walking around. I'm thinking like, are they going to eat me or something?
They must have developed what they mean are nanostructures.
Well, they are nanostructures. But I mean
they're not. I don't think they're alive.
They're little nanostructures.
Are they alive?
No, they're not alive.
No, wait a minute. Is this like the lady in Walmart with the... No.
When I think
of nanotechnology, I think of that Star Trek episode where Wesley invents the little teeny tiny robots.
Right.
But, of course, it has a broader implication than that.
You think so? I always think of nano. No, that's Neener. That's Neener. That's right.
Nanu.
That's right. That's nanotechnology from Mork.
Right.
All right, what else you got?
Now, the last thing I've got here that I wanted to chit-chat just for a moment about, the new food pyramid targets obesity. Now, everybody's worried about it, and this is a federal, it's a federal thing. It amazes me how government agencies, it's obvious that these people have to hold on to their jobs. It's obvious that they have too much time on their hands. They come up with studies regularly. We talked about this on one of my earlier shows. They came up with a study that years ago, right before Thanksgiving, that turkey stuffing can kill you. And, of course...
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
It turned out that this one lady had died about a week after Thanksgiving, and they attribute it to turkey stuffing. Now, this is after 300 years with no deaths.
Yeah,
and this was an above... Watch me. This was an above-the-fold headline in the local paper. I sent a copy to Dave Barry back in those days, and he made fun of it, too. But my point was... And this was from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The point was, obviously, these people have way too much. There's some people there that don't need to be there.
Well, it's like when they outlawed sunny-side-up eggs.
Oh, my God.
In New York.
Yeah, did they?
Yeah, because there was salmonella potential.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like we have, like, I mean, how many people actually eat raw eggs every day?
Millions. For millennia.
I mean, you would think that the streets would be littered with corpses with eggshells all around them. I mean, just, you know, and what
it'd
do
be
you
like poison?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's not. Anyway, the new food pyramid, this comes out from this is the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture again. These are the people that saw this turkey stuffing will kill you. And this is for kids. It's for kids, I think, age 6 to 12, in order to keep them from being obese. And now, the question is, who's going to read this? And it's certainly not the kids age 6 to 12. They can't read. At least here in Florida, they can't.
Parents can read it and shop for the kids.
Yeah, right. And the kid is sitting there in the basket or walking along, and he wants Choco Sugar Nuts or whatever the hell it is, screaming his head off. And his mother says, I'll get you a peach instead. Now, what do you suppose is going to get bought? Hello?
Peach.
Yeah.
It's a guide. What do you want? It's a guide.
It's somebody has too much time on their hands. Well, the other thing is, it's interesting because
that pyramid probably didn't cost us more than a few million dollars to generate in studies and...
I'd have done this for a couple of million bucks easy. I could have done it in 10 minutes. No problem. But
what is the pyramid?
Well, it's grains, vegetables, fruits, oils, milk, you know, and meat and beans, very little, 5 ounces, so forth. Anyway, they say at least 60 minutes of activity a day, and then you eat these foods, and they don't talk anything about calories, and they certainly don't talk about the crap, kids 6 to 12, that don't go off campus for lunch at McDonald's or wherever it is. But the point is that this is worthless. I mean, I'm telling you that in the schools, you can buy every sugared flavored drink you can in the soda machine, plus the peanut butter crackers, cookies, whatever. I mean, if they're serious about this stuff, they would get rid of. But again, that's the totalitarian state telling you what's good for you.
I mean, for thousands of years, you ate what your mother told you to eat.
Yep.
Why do we need a federal government agency to parse out these particular food from one food from another food?
I'm a firm believer in the market system and culling the herd. I mean, the fact is, if these kids get, you know, have a heart attack at age 6, they won't reproduce. So I don't have a problem with that.
People will find what they want to eat, and they'll eat the right stuff. And I don't think we need a centralized organization. I'm getting worried about that too, because you know the FDA has authority to add substances to the schedule of
prohibited.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Of prohibited substances. That is to say, they don't need to now go to Congress to get something banned. For example, and this is, again, something we'll talk about in the future, but ecstasy was perfectly legal. The FDA added it to the schedule. They didn't go to Congress to get it banned. They just added
what
it to
what I find it interesting, and I'm not an attorney, but if I was a wealthy attorney, it would be one of those things that you could have some fun with, because by the Constitution of the United States, that really would be illegal for them to do that.
It's absolutely an unconstitutional delegation of authority.
Delegation.
Of lawmaking authority. It delegates the lawmaking authority from the legislative branch to the executive branch. And that is...
That's a no-no.
That's a no-no.
It should have been thrown out. It started to get stopped. Again, we're getting into the next show. We're going to have to do that show fast. Yeah. Because that is exactly the kind of stuff that was started to be stopped by some revered Supreme Court justices of ours. Then it was eventually reversed. FDR outlasted them.
Yep.
And now we are controlled heavily by these federal agencies, which regulate every aspect of our lives.
Exactly. Well, they have, of course, this week is Freedom Week. Did I say at the beginning of the show?
You did.
Okay, Freedom Week. And they're going to teach that in the government schools. What do you suppose? You suppose they're going to teach what we just talked about?
No. Well, what is, but you didn't explain what Freedom Week
is. Freedom Week is the Florida legislature. And let me repeat what we started at the beginning of the show just for a second. Freedom Week is the last week in September is designated in all government run schools to teach about the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution to the K through 12. They must teach some 3 hours or something like that during
their own version of the Constitution.
And that's exactly right. And of course, one of the kids was asked, "What does freedom mean to you?" And the kid says, "It means I can do anything I want to."
Mm-hmm. Well, so, I like that.
I like that too.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Freedom should be limited by our equality.
By what?
By our equality. That is to say, I shouldn't be allowed to do something that you're not allowed to do. I should only be allowed to do the stuff that everybody's allowed to do. It's an equality thing. My rights expand until they bump up against yours. I can
right.
do anything so long as it's not something that is going to be interfering with something that you're doing.
Well, the 9-year-old in this article didn't say that.
It's a little bit truncated, I guess.
Yeah, you get that. Yeah, right, exactly. Well, it was the headline. So you wonder about the author of this, Diane Chung.
So are you going to guest speak at one of these K through 12?
They probably wouldn't have me. I don't know.
No, I think they might.
Yeah, right.
You used to do that before, didn't you?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, I taught a course with the Junior Achievement in one of the middle schools here. Was very successful, did well with it, had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Probably changed a few lives for the worse. No, at least they would know.
A few kids right. down.
A few kids down. I don't know where they're probably on some poster in the post office now. I don't know. No. I think we did better than that. It was a lot of fun. So I think that's about it for this show. Got anything else in particular that you need to?
Well, there was a. I thought this was kind of interesting. This is I have one little piece here.
Okay.
The design of the $100 laptop for kids is unveiled.
Oh, is that the one that
wow.
cranks?
Yes.
Let me get this. This is going to be the exercise that they're going to get. 60 minutes a day.
That's well,
they have to.
Know,
they have
yeah,
to.
Because apparently in the first generation, if you crank it for 1 minute, you get no more than 10 minutes of juice for the laptop to work. But still, I mean, if you got no power, you maybe crank it for, like you said, 60 minutes, then what does that equate to?
Well, of course, it has to store it, but I mean, that's, you have to have a battery that's actually going to store it. Like, if you sit there and crank it for 3 days, I don't think it's going to give you 90 days.
No. I mean, I'm sure that's the deal, but it does have, it does have a bunch of functions. I'll read a couple of them off.
$100.
Yeah, $100.
$100. And the chip's made by AMD. Advanced Micro Device. It's a 500 megahertz processor, which is, of course, is
plenty.
Kind of,
it's plenty.
It's plenty for a lot of stuff. I mean, the kids, if you're not playing video games on it, I mean, it's pretty decent.
Which, of course, let me tell you, you say that?
That's
one
exactly
of our favorite video games of the world was on a 1 megahertz machine.
Well, that's true, too. Absolutely. Anyway, it has a... it's got a rubber casing. It closes tightly because they have to be completely indestructible.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll get... Negroponte hatched the $100 laptop idea after seeing a children in Cambodian village benefit from having notebook computers at school that they could also tote home. And I guess that they're... one laptop per child to get 5 million to 15 million of the machines in production. Oh, this is great. In the second year, when Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney hopes to start buying them for all 500,000 in the second year, like this thing's not going to change in 2 years,
Yeah.
But anyway, who cares? Maybe it'll be different or something like that. But it can connect to a Wi-Fi wireless network.
Jesus.
It's going to have flash memory instead of a hard drive.
Figures.
And,
actually, though, that's way more expensive. How are they doing that for $100?
I don't know. I mean, and they're going to run Linux instead of Windows, which is, of course, you know, $70 or $80 right there. It has 4 USB ports.
And you can never have too many USB ports.
No, I'm telling
you right now, if I was to put together a computer today, I would put
all USB.
50, I mean, everything. Honest to God. It's like the surge protectors here. I mean, you cannot.
I'd want a port for everything. I'd want a 3¼-inch floppy drive on there.
Well, that may be, but my point is that if I ever build a new house, one entire wall is going to be USB ports and AC outlets. I am tired of these. We have surge protectors plugged into surge protectors here. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then these little wall warts eat up two of the holes, for God's sake, because they're next to each other. God, okay, go ahead.
You know, like Curtis just mentioned, I think it is pretty amazing that they can get all this, you know, for $100. And even the screen can change from full color to a glare-resistant black and white if you're using it outside. So, you know, you have super ultra contrast. Or
bullshit.
Yeah, right. Anyway, but of course, after all, and much the word, Negroponte said even $100 is still too expensive. Yeah.
I'm telling you. Well, you know, it's funny you say that. $100 too expensive, but it's interesting because Mitt Baby wants to use taxpayer dollars to buy them and give them away so at no charge. So, I mean,
right.
Free is too expensive for as far as the kids, at no charge to the kids. If you're going to give them to them, I mean, again, I agree that the taxpayer shouldn't be picking that up, but it's interesting that I'm wondering on what basis Negroponte says that the $100 is too expensive. I mean, I guess it's because they're planning on spending $1 billion on buying them that they could, you know, better buy that, you know, reinforce the bridge in Alaska that goes to nowhere. I don't know.
And they're also having the Eat to the Beat concert series in Epcot coming up here, too.
The what now?
They're having like this. You remember the big food and wine and beer show?
Okay, now is this part of the food pyramid? Is this the anti-obesity campaign?
Well, Epcot's got the ball, so it's a food ball, I guess. No, I don't know.
Food pyramid. A giant food ball. That'd make a good show on The Simpsons. Homer eats the food ball.
So. And they are having a couple interesting. They're having Commodores from October 3rd to the 6th. Woo-hoo. That'd be kind of interesting.
What are they from, the 50s or 60s? I should know.
Commodores? No, they're 70s, man.
Oh, whoa. I should know this.
But they are having a Family Stone experience. I wonder if Sly's still around. Anyway, that's October 26th to 28th. And that'd be kind of interesting to see.
So are you going down?
Maybe. Three Dog Night. That'd be cool.
What's the date?
It starts on September 30th and it goes to
tomorrow,
middle of November.
Anytime.
Yeah, I have been to this before and it is a lot of fun. They basically let that whole world showcase that they have, you know, the whole walkway all the way around Epcot is lined with nothing but food, beer, and wine.
And this food
beer,
Duff beer. Well, and
Duff, dude,
and obviously, this is. Let me put this food pyramid. This is the food ball that does not that targets obesity. All right, it's getting more of it. I mean, obviously, if you have this entire wall of food,
there's going to be some good stuff down there too.
Yeah, that could be. I wonder, one ticket gets you with all you can eat for.
I don't remember what
$100.
I mean, there was literally just hundreds and hundreds of free samples. Of course, I'll probably run into Homer Simpson down there, but but there was, you know, it just was pretty impressive. I mean, it was it really was an international food event that lasts all month long.
Well, if we go, we'll tell you about it.
Well, and we'll bring a remote recorder or something.
Hey, that's right. We have the ability to do that. We want to talk. What I'm going to do on the next show. I would like to talk about the new shows on TV. So bring your information. And by the way, dear listener, if you've got an idea that we might want to talk about, you send us an email. We'll take it under consideration. We'll pan it. We'll laugh.
We're going to do an entertainment review next time.
Yeah, I'm going to see if we can do an entertainment. I've been watching some of the newer new shows and new old shows, and I want to give a little review to save our listeners so they can listen to the iPod rather than watch stupid TV if they don't have to, or else TiVo, who knows what.
I only watched Battlestar Galactica and Stargate, so.
Well, you get the Sci-Fi channel, I don't.
Oh yeah, that's true. I'll give my review on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, that's right. I don't get HBO or I just get ABC. I'm talking about the network show, so we'll let it go. The 22 minutes shoveled into 30-minute show. Okay. I think we're about done.
Sure?
Yeah, I think so. Send us your emails, Jimmy Doan, Jimmy at JimmyDoan.com. Thanks for listening. Hope you had a good workout or a good ride.
I got that mojo.
Had this burned on a CD by some friend of yours or enemy.
I actually listened to the last show on my walk this morning.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, we have at least a couple of people that say they listen to these things. They're timeless. We like to think of them as timeless.
Right.
And we have several people that listen to them again and again to get the essential, because we speak sometimes a little rapidly and you might miss the good stuff. Kind of like watching some of the shows on TV, Gilmore Girls. You have to watch it twice to catch all this stuff.
Well, I can tell you this much, because, I mean, not only am I, of course, present here during the shows, but I mix some of them, and then I listen to them later, or like once the Curtis is mixed, and I'll tell you, I miss a lot of the show even when I'm sitting here zooming down. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, so definitely listen to them more than once.
And give us a review.
And tell your friends.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. See you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Hey, I'm a real little trying on you. Yeah.